Greetings, this is Jeff Riddle from Christ Reformed Baptist Church in Louisa, Virginia. This is an audio version of a book review that I have written. The book under review is by Peter J. Williams. It's titled, Can We Trust the Gospels? And it was published by Crossway in 2018. It is 153 pages in length. My review first appeared in the Puritan Reformed Journal, Volume 13, Number 1, in January of 2021, and it's found on pages 204 to 207. Here now is the review. This slender volume is a popular level defense of the historical reliability and trustworthiness of the New Testament Gospels. The author is the principal of the Tyndale House and Evangelical Study Center in Cambridge. It consists of 8 brief chapters and provides an engaging and accessible defense of the historicity of the Gospels for the general reader. Williams begins with a survey of 3 key extra-biblical sources for the life of Jesus in early Christianity: Tacitus, Pliny the Younger, and Josephus. He concludes that what one finds in these sources is consistent with what is reported in the Gospels and Acts. Most importantly, these confirm that Jesus was a historical figure who was crucified under Pontius Pilate, and that his followers worshipped him as God from the earliest stages of the Christian movement. Thus, the affirmation of the deity of Christ was by no means a later theological development. He then notes the relatively large amount of early information provided about Jesus through the canonical Gospels in comparison to information about other contemporary historical figures, like the Roman Emperor Tiberius. He concludes, quote, Jesus has more extended text about him in generally closer proximity to his life than his contemporary Tiberius, the most famous person in the then known world, end quote, page 41. The traditional view of the authorship of the Gospels is supported, as is the reasonableness of an early pre-70 dating for them. Williams also supports the historical reliability of the Gospels, affirming that the evangelists, quote, knew their stuff, end quote. See pages 51 through 86. He demonstrates that the Gospel writers show consistently accurate and specific knowledge of first century Palestinian geographical locations and place names. With regard to the names of people, Williams draws on the work of Richard Bauckham to demonstrate how the authors properly reflect the feature of disambiguation common for the use of Jewish names of the first century. The ability of the canonical gospel writers to use plausible place and personal names is contrasted with the later apocryphal gospels, such as the Gospel of Thomas, which lack this quality. This accuracy in detail argues against those who see the Gospels as late compositions. Furthermore, the various Gospels present examples of undesigned coincidence. For example, the presentation of Mary and Martha in Luke and John, which, quote, show agreement of a kind that is hard to imagine as deliberately contrived by either author to make the story look authentic, end quote, page 87. Turning his attention to the words of Jesus reported in the Gospels, Williams notes that quotation marks were not used in ancient writing, and this presents problems for determining so-called bounded quotations. He thus asserts, quote, ancient truthful and responsible quotation did not need to observe our modern rule of marked boundaries, end quote, page 99. He adds that, quote, in an ancient culture, truthful quotation granted certain freedoms in quotation not available to us, end quote, page 99. Nonetheless, Williams asserts that in Jewish tradition, there was a strong emphasis on memorization and that the formal teaching of Jesus would have been carefully preserved. Against those who suggest that the original Aramaic words of Jesus have been lost in translation, Williams says that the idea that Jesus did not speak Greek is wide open to challenge. He suggests, quote, Jesus might have taught in Greek or been translated simultaneously into Greek, or it might have approved translations of his own sayings into Greek, end quote, page 109. Regarding the text of the Gospels, Williams stresses the text's general stability over time. According to Williams, other than two major variants, the ending of Mark and John's account of the woman taken in adultery, as well as a handful of disputed verses, the 16th century text of Erasmus, whom he calls the cleverest man on earth, and the modern critical text of the Gospels are a little different. To Cinch's point, Williams compares the first 14 verses of John in no less than five Greek editions of the New Testament. Erasmus's 1516 Textus Receptus, Maurice Robinson's 2005 Majority Text Edition, the SBL's Greek New Testament of 2010, the current Nestle-Aland 28th edition of 2012, and the new Tyndale House Greek New Testament of 2017. Across these various editions, John 1, 1 through 14, consisting of 188 words and 812 letters, is exactly the same. He adds, quote, Erasmus, on the basis of the manuscripts that just happened to be available to him in Basel, Switzerland, on the eve of the Reformation, was able to do just as well as the 21st century scholars who were able to enjoy the fruits of half a millennium of accumulated knowledge. This suggests it is absolutely rational to trust the text of the Gospels that has been passed down through the centuries with integrity. End quote, page 120. In the closing chapters, Williams defends the coherency of the Gospels, noting that many supposed contradictions within them arise from misreadings and misunderstandings by readers, as well as failure to identify what he calls deliberate formal contradictions, meant to serve a rhetorical or theological purpose in the narrative. Williams concludes that the easiest explanation for the Gospel content is not that it was invented, but that it is true. Why, for example, would early Christians focus on the shameful death of Jesus on the cross if he had not actually died on the cross? Returning to the question in the book's title, Williams answers that it is rational to trust the Gospels and that such a trust, quote, provides a satisfying choice both intellectually and in wider ways, end quote, page 137. In the end, this book might be described as an evangelical quasi-evidentialist apologetic work in support of the reliability of the Gospels, which recognizes the limits of evidential apologetics. At one point, for example, Williams reminds the reader, quote, this book is not about proving that the Gospels are true, but about demonstrating that they can be rationally trusted, end quote, page 120. He adds, quote, proof of a mathematical kind does not exist with history, end quote, page 120. His central point is that it is not unreasonable to believe that the Gospels are historically reliable and trustworthy. A question might be raised as to whether a committed unbeliever would find the arguments here to be convincing unless the Holy Spirit used such arguments as a means to open his heart to attend unto the Christian proclamation. Compare Acts 16:14. Someone who is converted, on the other hand, will accept by faith the truth of the Gospels. This work might well aid in edifying the saint by supporting his conviction that the Bible is trustworthy. Some traditional Christian readers might take exception to some of Williams's arguments. Here are two examples. First, in his discussion on the words of Jesus within the Gospels, some might wonder if Williams's argument tends toward the idea that we have only the gist of Christ's words, the so-called ipsissima vox, as opposed to his very words, the ipsissima verba. Second, with regard to the text of Scripture, some might wonder if Williams downplays the difference between the traditional texts and the modern critical texts of the New Testament, as well as the apologetic and doctrinal challenges represented by the rise of modern critical text methodology. Furthermore, Williams simply assumes the superiority of the modern critical text and does not offer a compelling reason as to why it should be preferred to that of Erasmus and the Reformers. At one point, he makes a telling comment when he says, quote, no central authority has been able to impose uniformity, end quote, on the modern text. See page 117. This is the problem of epistemology for modern text criticism. There is no check or standard that can be imposed upon it. One might ask, would it not be better if we simply embrace the Reformation text as the standard confessional text? Nevertheless, this brief work is to be commended on many levels. Williams makes some important points that strongly and effectively support traditional views of the authorship, the dating, and the historical reliability of the Gospels over against modern skepticism. This book will be a helpful work to give to a student or to any believer interested in understanding and defending the historicity of the Gospels. Here ends the review. You can receive audiobook reviews and notes like this one, Word Magazine podcasts and sermons by subscribing to Christ Reformed Baptist Church's sermon audio feed on iTunes by searching for Christ Reformed Baptist Church. For video material, you can subscribe to the Word Magazine channel on YouTube.com. You can also find written book reviews, notes, and articles like this one on my blog, jeffriddle.net.